Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
We've been chatting about the 10th anniversary of the marriage equality referendum this week, and while it's definitely a cause for celebration, many feel there's still plenty that needs to be done. Joe was with us on the show to share his memories of referendum day, but you've two children through surrogacy, Joe. You feel that there's more that should now be achieved for parents.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on, Andrea. Mm. Yes, we have two kids that were born in Canada, thanks to our amazing surrogate, Chantelle. Her and her wife have become very close to us and become part of our family. What she's done, she's created her own family and she's created our family. And it's just a gift that is just, it's life-changing for us. And we followed the Canadian legal system. We did everything that we were meant to do over there. We end up as the only legal parents of our children in Canada. We arrive back home, and because we are two men listed on a birth cert, Ireland look at that and say, that's not possible. So now we're into a legal minefield in Ireland of, I don't have a legal right to my daughter because genetically we're not connected. And my husband doesn't have a legal right to our son because genetically they're not connected. And despite the fact that they've been living with us since they've been born, we're their legal guardians in Canada where they were born. So it's just, there's a lot that needs to be done, not just for my family, but for many families.
Many families, yeah. And basically over the last decade, what has been allowed, I suppose, to happen, Joe, was that, you know, you and your partner were able to get married here in Ireland. You went to Canada to go through surrogacy for your children. And now in your situation, you were the legal guardian or dad of one of the kids and your partner of the other.
Exactly.
So if your daughter, for instance, falls today, you know, God forbid, and you have to bring her to hospital, mm-hmm. one or the other parents can't allow for an operation or sign off for to give the okay for that to happen.
No. I do think on the ground level, you know, our public health system is quite understanding of our situation, and I don't think they'd ever put us in that awkward position, but it does happen. I think they recognise we are their parents and their carers, and there's nobody disputing that. I think from the legal side of this is that technically they shouldn't allow me make any life-changing decisions on behalf of my daughter's care. But there's other knock-ons from that, you know, succession and inheritance issues. That trickle down from me not having any legal parental connection with my daughter. But also, she's missing out on what every other child in Ireland has, which is a legal protection with both of her parents. If myself and Martin, God forbid, if we split up in the morning, I can walk away with Tig and he can't contest that, and he can walk away with Mirren and I can't contest that. And that shouldn't be right. We should, as two parents, we should have the same legal protection in our marriage and with our children that any other family has.
It must be a very hard decision to make. What age are Tig and Mirren?
Tig is two and Mirren is just over 8 months.
Okay. It must have been a very difficult decision for you and Martin 3 years ago, Joe, was it, when you sat down to discuss, you know, who was going to get to be that parent?
We started in 2019. We created embryos. All of those failed. So we sat down a couple of 3 years ago and decided, are we doing this again? And we did. So it's been a very long road to get here. For us, we were between each embryo. We started with one of mine and then one of Martin's and one of mine. And it just turned out that one of mine worked on the fifth transfer and one of Martin's worked on the sixth transfer. But look, I'd love to maybe take this conversation into what the legal gaps are now for our family. We met as a parenting alliance. We met with the minister, Jennifer Carroll McNeill, yesterday in the Department of Health, just to highlight the gaps that are in the proposed legislation that the government are bringing forward. We sat down with the previous ministers from previous government, shared our concerns and highlighted the gaps and how it affects the families that this legislation is designed to, I don't want to say control, but to regulate. And although I appreciate we have a new minister, and it's hard to get a measure of somebody when you just meet them, and you know she's not making any promises, which is I suppose good in one way, because we just want to see what she's going to come back with. But we've been here before. We've had a lot of promises, and nothing has changed. So last year, on the 2nd of July, our president, Michael D. Higgins, signed in a piece of legislation which allows me to have a legal connection with my daughter and allows my husband to have a legal connection with his son. They haven't commenced that yet.
Okay,
it's enacted.
So that's
part
where
of the law.
At.
But it hasn't been commenced.
Stay with me, Joe, for a few moments. I want to bring Maeve in as well, because Maeve, I know you've a fairly similar story to Joe. When is it likely that this legislation will progress?
Timelines at different stages, so it's hard to know. There's a lot of things that need to be put in place before the current enacted AHR Act can be commenced. One major thing is this amending legislation. So the previous minister already acknowledged that amendments need to be made to the Act that's on the books at the moment. So that needs to be drafted, obviously. It needs to go to Cabinet. It needs to go through the Houses. There may be some element of pre-legislative scrutiny. So all that needs to happen. Also, the regulatory authority needs to be set up. It needs to be resourced. CEO needs to be appointed. The courts need to be informed about these changes and, you know, be prepared for that and have, you know, the court forms ready and the process and people, I guess, trained up in there as well to be dealing with these applications. So I think, unfortunately, there is quite a bit of a road ahead before we start to see what's currently on the books commenced, but then also the new changes that we need. Before we see them.
Yeah, look, I know in all this week and people have been talking about the 10th anniversary of the referendum, and yes, there's no question a lot of progress has been made, but did you think, Maeve, at this stage by 2025 that we would be further on in terms of the parental rights for same-sex couples?
Oh yeah, absolutely, definitely. And you know, I think everyone that I've met, all the LGBT families, would acknowledge that societally we've moved on huge amounts. You know, there's some, you know, blundering questions and well-meaning, you know, things that you kind of gently correct people on. But, you know, by and large, the people that you meet, you know, on your street, in your school, in your neighbourhood, everyone's absolutely lovely about our families and so supportive. Mm. And, you know, just, oh, you get as well done. And, you know, the same with any parent. But legally, it's actually unbelievable that we still are where we are.
Yeah, and for you in your own situation, you've four children, is that right?
Yeah, we do. So lots of similarities actually with Joe's story, in the sense that we've kind of shared the parentage. I carry two of the children and my wife carried two of the children. And same as Joe, I'm only the legal parent of the ones I gave birth to. And, you know, like Joe, we planned for them together. You know, we were there for the conception, there for the birth, have parented them together every day since then. But yes, in law, they only have one parent in this country. And also, like Joe, I suppose we have a birth cert with both our names on it. We all decided for each of our children, we went and gave birth in Belfast, which was a huge palaver and you know, a risk to change our maternity care, you know, quite late on in the pregnancy. We couldn't move there, so we had to do most of the care down here, and then very late in the pregnancy transfer up to Belfast, and they were very good to take us on, and we got great care up there. And so that allowed us, as a married couple in the UK, to get a birth certificate with both of our names on it. It means a huge amount to us. I hope it'll mean a huge amount to our children to have that piece of paper that says, these are your two parents. Here they are, black and white, you know. But in Ireland, it means nothing. And so similar to Joe, you come back to Dublin or you come back to Ireland you're back to being, you know, a single parent in the eyes of the law.
Just maybe, Joe, on a final point, you know, like in terms of just when you sit down and think about this and talk to your partner, Martin, what does your gut tell you? When do you think this might actually change for you in terms of your situation?
Look, it's been dragging on so long now. I'm not really concerned about the when. I'm more concerned about what happens when it does. So the proposed legislation is good for our family because we fall into the retrospective piece. So we've created our family outside before any legislation was put in place. The concerning piece that I know myself and Maeve and the rest of us who are advocating on behalf of our families, the big concerning piece for us is what the prospective piece looks like. It's hugely restrictive for any parents in the future that want to have a family via surrogacy, even by assisted donor-assisted human reproduction. The guidelines, that the framework that the government are proposing is hugely restrictive, and it rules out a lot of jurisdictions. So, for instance, the US is considered commercial surrogacy. That's not going to be permitted for anybody, not just gay parents, but for heterosexual parents as well. There's a lot of countries that are going to be struck off the list. Canada is going to become quite overused because we're just such a small country, but we're going to have very little options in the world when it comes to how anybody can have a child via surrogacy this proposed restrictive legislation.
As things progress, I'm sure we'll be chatting about this again. Joe and Maeve, listen, thanks a million for your time here on the show today. The email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.